Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I pray that you're having a good day. I'm being blessed of the Lord, and I just want to share some things with you. We started on yesterday's broadcast. I shared a scripture which I've always loved in Joel, the second chapter. There the word of the Lord says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." God has always done things in a progressive way. Truth, His truth, is progressive. And there are so many sweet and beautiful truths that are in the heart of the Heavenly Father. His interest, His primary interest is His children. He loves mankind. He loves His children. His heart of love just wants to gather up everyone. It was broken when the fellowship with His beloved creation, Adam and Eve, was broken because of sin, and they were expelled from the garden. But He had a solution. He brought Jesus, His only begotten Son, and allowed Him, sent Him into the world, that those who would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And He always has wanted to instruct and teach us and show us His ways and show us His real heart toward us. He's not a God of wrath and stern and unloving. Yes, He only judges sin. He judges wickedness and evil, but He doesn't willingly, the scriptures say, afflict the sons of men. He wants people to come to Him and to learn about Him. People have so misunderstood, and to be honest, religion has so misrepresented the character of God. God loves mankind, and He's wanted to save us from a hell and an eternity that was designed for Satan and his angels, the fallen angels. God doesn't send anyone to hell. They choose to go there themselves because they reject God. I mean, you know, have you ever been rejected? Has anyone ever just not wanted to have anything to do with you? Well, that's the result of those who willfully turn away from God. They're rejecting His love. They're rejecting all the beautiful things that He offers. His own person is indescribable, and yet He gives so many blessings. The scriptures say in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. He's reserved pleasures for us that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. But those thoughts that are in the heart of God, the word scriptures say, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are His thoughts than our thoughts, His ways than our ways. So the things that we receive from God, the things that the prophets have shared over the ages, they never originated in human thought. They've never been the product of human minds. And as we talk about the ages or the seasons of God, we refer to them as dispensations. And when one curtain closed on a particular dispensation, it doesn't mean that that preceding dispensation was unholy or out of place. But perhaps that ministry of that dispensation may have simply been a ministry of preparation for the greater things that were to come. For example, the law, the Mosaic law, was a schoolmaster, a teacher, until that greater and new covenant that Jesus sealed with His own blood was to replace that. Jesus fulfilled that law and ushered in the new covenant. And this is the way God has built through the years. His truth has been progressive, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, always progressing. For what purpose? To lead man higher and higher out of himself, out of the flesh, into that glorious realm of the Spirit, where the Father's purposes, His plan, His will, His kingdom are made clearer and clearer. Praise God, a time is coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And His ways have always led mankind upward, out of this present evil world and age, and into that place of oneness and communion with God, where it's possible for us to apprehend those things which pertain to the Lord and to heaven and to eternal life. And how did you ever think of how patient our Heavenly Father has been? He's infinitely patient. The word says the husbandman has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. That's us. That's you and me, the souls of men. He's dealt with us so patiently, and yet with what finite insistence we've endeavored to keep all those things of the world, the flesh and the devil, all those things our fallen humanity has ever been prone to treasure. But from his search for Adam in the Garden of Eden after the tragedy of the fall, there's been a long, continuous cycle of progression of truth upward. And that's been the plan of God for you and me. Oh, that we could understand his plan for the world and his plan for ourselves. And it's not the will of our Heavenly Father that we should be satisfied with the things of yesterday. You know, as humans, we're creatures of comfort. We like traditions. We don't like change. We like things just comfortable the way they were. And if he leads us into the glorious light of a revealed truth tomorrow, it does not, of necessity, reflect on the integrity or the veracity of the truth in which we live today. The way our forefathers believed was wonderful for that time, but he's bringing us into new truth and new revelation. We're prone to rely on certain experiences and to treasure the doctrines and the dogmas, which were an integral part of the faith of our fathers. And we tend to forget that we have a Heavenly Father who is greater than the fathers of the church, as much as we might respect them, but he's greater than that. He wants to lead us ever onward and ever upward. Let's talk about what happened when the Son of God, when Jesus was here in physical form upon the earth. He wanted to share with those who were about him, round about him, with the religious leaders of his day, what time it was. He wanted to show them the new thing God wanted to do, but they didn't understand. Their ears, their hearts were closed. So upon the dark mountainside, when the whole world was wrapped in midnight sleep, Jesus prayed until his hair was wet with the dew of morning. His whole life was one of deep devotion to God on behalf of humanity, on behalf of you and I, those who were yet to come in the ages to follow. And he was characterized by unfailing obedience to Almighty God, to his Father. The Son of God didn't want his own will. He didn't purpose to have his own way. He came as a servant. The works he accomplished, the words that he spoke, were the ministries and the voice of the eternal God, who was using the physical body of his only begotten Son as a vehicle through which he expressed himself to sinful men like you and me. More than once, after toiling and ministering all day long to multitudes of people, what did we see? We saw that the Son of God retired to the solitude of the mountain to commune with his Father. Had his disciples only known it, they could have been with him there too. But they were living beneath their privileges, and I'm afraid, beloved, my friends, that today we're very much like those who lived in the days that Jesus lived, and when those who were his disciples who were with him at the time of his earthly presence were not much different. Oh, that we could only overcome the limitations of our flesh. There is a way, beloved, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we could just, for once and for all, smash those chains that bind and shackle us to the traditions which were good in their day, but they fulfilled their purpose. They've had their time, and which God intended them only to be a rung in the ladder upon which we were to climb. We want our hearts and our spirits to be in communion with God. And if he wants to move on to something new, we need to be ready to go. I've always loved that illustration when David was newly king and the Philistines were attacking, and he sought the Lord, and he said, "Lord, should we attack?" And the Lord said, "Yes, go, I'll give them into your hands." And he did, and they came, sort of regrouped and came back again. And as he sought the Lord again, the Lord had another plan. He said, go around behind them and don't move until you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. And that was a signal that the armies of God were also going to fight with and for them. So you see, just because God does something one way, suppose, you know, you're in a particular situation and you pray and God moves and you say, "Praise God, it was wonderful." But suppose there's the same situation. Don't expect that God has the same solution always. I mean, he's a God of infinite variety and purpose. In fact, I just want to stop in the ministry of the word because I feel someone has just been really seeking God for his direction, and you're really kind of at a loss. You're not certain, you know, "Lord, what should I do?" Well, the good news is, if we ask wisdom of the Lord, as James says, he doesn't turn us aside. He's willing to give us that wisdom that we stand in need of. He doesn't withhold from us. And my advice to you by the Spirit is, don't do anything until you feel a clarity in your spirit. Don't just feel forced. You have to make a decision. You don't have to right now. You wait on the Lord, he'll show you what to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, and that's true for all of us. Amen. Don't do anything until you know God wants you to do it. Praise God. Well, as this broadcast draws to a close, I have to say bye-bye for now. And I just trust that you'll be able to join me on the broadcast tomorrow at the same time. We're heard Monday through Friday on this station. Praise God. And those of you who have been listening, please write. Use snail mail. I love to get letters. The announcer will give you our address. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. And may God's best forever be yours. Is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.